What's happening, everybody? Welcome to Productivity Boss Moves. This is your host, productivity coach, Robert Price, and I'm here with my lovely co-host and friend, Chantel Jones.
Hello.
How are you feeling today, Chantel?
I am fantastic. So happy to be here.
Glad to hear that. So I know you had a baby.
I did.
First one.
It's my first.
And his name is Gabriel.
He's Gabriel, yep. And he is amazing. I love him.
Okay. That's awesome. That's cute. You know, I know from from the outside perspective, when new life comes in, you know, everybody's in love.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got to ask you, since I was a new parent a couple of years ago myself, my son is three now, I got to ask you, what's been the, you know, the horror story?
Oh, my gosh.
The worst part of the new life that you now have.
Wow. Probably the sleepless nights.
Okay.
Yeah, he's getting into a flow, but it wasn't so smooth at first. And he would wake up every other hour, maybe every 30 minutes in the middle of the night. And he still doesn't sleep during the day. And so sometimes I'm trying to get things done, but I can't because he don't want to sleep.
Gotcha.
So we're getting used to the way that he likes to sleep and what he likes to do. I realize that he's the boss.
Mm.
End of story.
Period.
Can't do anything about it.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah. And it's funny because I know what your answer is going to be, because sleep deprivation is the worst
It's a beast.
Part of the newborn. And you're not in a great mood.
Mm-mm.
You're happy to have a new life, and you're all excited in the hospital like, he's mine.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah, no sleep.
When you come home, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Your life is no longer your own. But I will say, from having been through that, it does get better.
I've heard that.
Several times.
I know
you don't think there's any light at the end of the tunnel.
You know what? I do believe it.
Okay.
Because it has gotten much better.
Okay.
So he's 2 months old now.
Okay.
And so it's gotten better since the first week that we brought him home up until now.
Okay.
I believe it.
Yeah.
It was hard to believe at first,
yeah.
But I believe it because I'm seeing it.
Okay, but let me not discourage you, but let me tell you the truth.
Oh, gosh.
These little babies, they'll flip back and forth on you.
Mm-hmm.
So you might get to a point where you're like, oh, he's sleeping through the night. This is wonderful. This is amazing. And all of a sudden, you know. You're like, wait, I thought this method we were doing was working. Now he's not responding to that at all. He's crying. He's fed. He's changed. He's everything. But, you know, so I'm not wishing that on you.
Well,
I'm just
thank
letting you,
you
know what happened. It ebbs and flows.
So for sure. I can be prepared.
You got to be prepared.
You're a good friend.
Because, yeah, don't read the baby books. The baby books, they do not work. I tried, but... You know, that is what that is. But what's been the greatest part?
Oh my gosh. The rest of it.
Okay.
Everything else. Looking at him.
Just staring at him.
Oh, he's beautiful. He's perfect.
You just be standing there just looking at him.
I do. I just stare. He probably thinks I'm weird.
Oh,
but
man.
He's everything that I pray for.
Oh, man.
He's perfect.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's no feeling like it.
No. Mm-mm.
It's no feeling like it.
You can't beat it. So I've never felt anything like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, so when he was first born, were you sedated or were you...
Oh, no.
How did you was fully aware?
I was wide awake.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
wide awake.
I saw the whole thing go down.
Okay.
And, you know, that first cry, oh, man. It's such a sweet sound.
Right.
It's so sweet.
But not like the several ones after that, though.
No. Those are different cries.
Those are different cries. Okay. The first one, though.
The first one is good.
It's a joyous cry. Okay. Okay. Yeah. My wife was a little under the influence.
Really?
During that time. So I'm like about to pass out.
Right.
I'm holding the baby. I'm holding my son. And I'm like, I'm crying. I'm looking at the nurse. I'm like, oh my goodness, my heart is pounding. And they're like, man, is this guy gonna pass out?
Oh my
gosh. Are you okay? But we got through it.
You made it.
Yeah. So no, that's always a powerful moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
absolutely.
Yeah, congratulations.
Cheers
on
to
that.
Being parents.
Yeah. Hey.
Fist bump.
The ups and the downs.
That's right.
But okay, so here's what I wanted to talk about today. So I read the statistic on Inc.com,
okay.
And it said that about 70% of people, they do not feel satisfied with their career path,
okay,
their jobs. And, you know, that's a really, that's a high number. Actually, other statistics that I've heard in the past have always been higher than that, as a matter of fact. But let's just pretend it's 70%. That's still a large majority of people who are unhappy, you know, for, on average, 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
And if you're sleeping 8 hours a night,
mm-hmm.
you're spending half of your waking hours in a place that you're not satisfied with. You're spending half of your waking hours there. And for most of us, you know, it's not something we think about.
That's right.
You know, you just got to go to work, provide for your family. That's it.
Sure.
Like, there's nothing else that you truly think about. You kind of go with the flow. Hey, I'm going to work a job till I'm 65, retire, and then enjoy my life at that point.
Right.
But there was a couple of years ago that we were both working at, you know, Delaware State University.
Yeah.
And I just remember walking around one day just feeling like, I feel ordinary.
Okay.
You know, I felt like this is, this can't be all there is.
Yeah,
I knew, and I felt I was in a place where I felt stuck, and I felt like the work I had done up until that point was wasted. Because we were in housing and higher ed, student affairs, and I didn't necessarily want to move up in student affairs.
Sure.
I didn't want to become a dean or, you know, anything of the like. But I had all these years of experience working at Delaware State University, Bowie State University, Wesley College, Montclair State, different schools. And really, student affairs was the only really professional work experience I had. So to think about, I don't think this is the path I want to go down.
Scary.
Yeah, that's really scary.
Yeah.
Especially at the time, my son, this was 2017, so my son was just a little bit over 1 year old.
Yeah, I remember Kate, little
Kate. Yeah, mm-hmm. And we got a baby right away, mm-hmm. after getting married. So, you know, just getting into it, it's a scary thought. We were married for about 2 years at that point. And but that feeling, it wasn't going away.
Yeah.
You know, it was alive and in my heart. Hey, you know, I believe that, you know, I've been living way below what I knew I was capable of.
Sure.
And so, you know, from that point, I actually let me not move forward first. Let me say that. Okay.
I have a question because
okay.
You said that you were feeling ordinary.
Uh-huh.
And so when you're in a place where you feel ordinary, I would imagine that you have some type of action that you must take to get you out of that feeling of being ordinary, because no one wants to feel ordinary.
Right.
People want to feel extraordinary,
right?
Right? So what were the thought processes and the things that you had to do to pull you out of that, out of feeling ordinary and not feeling like you were operating at your greatest potential?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, because when in you saying that, it just makes me think of how I got out of park. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people listening, you know, that may be how you're feeling, like, I'm just trying to get out of park. Can somebody help me? And that's how I truly felt. And I remember we were working at the issue at that time, and I said to you, I think it was January initially when I said to you, I only have one goal for this entire year.
I remember.
Yeah. Yes. I only have one goal for this entire year.
Uh-huh.
And that goal was to wake up at 5:30 a.m. every day.
I remember.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, like, I couldn't do it consistently.
Okay.
And I had had moments in my life that I was successful at waking up at odd times and doing things, but never like consistently. Like,
sure.
When I, you know, I wrote my book before, and I was getting up at all different types of times, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, whatever, whenever it came on me, mm-hmm. to, you know, the thoughts I had to write.
Right.
But I never gained any type of consistency in my life of, okay, every day I'm going to wake up at this time. Mm. I'm going to do this time. And just, you know, all we hear about and read about all these successful people who have their routines.
Right. So that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know what got you to the point of consistency. And I say that because that's something that people struggle with.
Right.
All types of people struggle with it. I definitely have my own battles with consistency. Mm-hmm. And not just with maybe waking up, but maybe anything.
Anything else.
Eating healthy.
Yeah.
Getting to work on time. Right?
That's one of my things I'm working on. Yeah.
Yeah. So consistency is so important, I believe, if you want to be successful at anything.
Yes.
Right? But the consistency is the battle in itself. So talk to us a little bit about how you got there.
Okay.
Did you get to a point where you feel like you mastered being consistent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm definitely haven't reached a point yet where I've mastered consistency, but I've definitely gained a lot of ground on mastering consistency.
Okay.
And I'll go back to that moment. So in March, you told me about this book. Well, in January, you told me about the book, The Miracle Morning.
Yes.
So we have a funny story about that. Yes. I'm going to share with the listeners what took place with this. So you...
Don't judge me, please.
Everyone, please judge her. This is a judging moment. Yes, this is, you should. No, but you said to me, when I told you about my goal to wake up at 5:30 a.m. every day, you said, you should read this book, The Miracle Morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote it down in our agenda notes for that meeting that day. And when I got to about March, that's an interesting sound. We're currently in our studio, your garage.
The garage.
Yeah, so this is awesome. So
my garage is the studio for today.
Yes, just for today. So if you hear, you know, some loud sounds, just know that, that's where we are. So.
We're doing this for you guys, all the listeners out there. Yeah. This is for you. This is true sacrifice.
We're making it happen. Anybody with a new baby who has ever gone through that experience knows that this must be really important, because there's like a million and one things you could be doing right now besides sitting here talking to me about this. Right. So anyway, let's get back into it. So it was March, and I went back to that agenda because I had been struggling with getting the consistency, and I had that experience about, oh, I feel ordinary. And immediately I went back to, what was that book that Chantel told me about? So I went back to the agenda and I saw, okay, it was called The Miracle Morning. And so I pulled it up and I started reading it. And I was reading it for about 4 days. And I remember we had a conversation, and I told you immediately that this book was changing my life.
Yeah.
Like already. Yeah. I only read it 4 days and I was doing the Miracle Morning. And I was just like, oh my goodness. This is a whole new life. What the heck? Like, what is this? And crazy thing about it, I'll say this before I get into it. So I told you about this, and what was your response back to me?
I told you that, although I recommended the book.
Right. Here was my question. My question was, how did you feel when you read the book? You know, I was really excited about that. And then what was your response to me?
I told you that I hadn't read the book.
You hadn't read the book.
I didn't read it.
So imagine me, guys, 4 days into this, my life is changing completely. And I'm all excited to go back to the person who recommended the book to me to share notes, compare notes, or whatever the case may be. And you said to me, you didn't read it. I have never been more disappointed in my life. Let me tell you.
Oh, I was
very disappointed. But my reaction right after that was, you have to read this book.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yeah. But I did listen to
a talk.
A talk about it.
Right. That's how you came across the book.
That's right.
Right.
So I had lots of insight.
It wouldn't make sense if you didn't. Yeah, you need to share that.
I just didn't read the book. That's
right.
It.
But that's all good. You were a great friend.
And
in
it
this
changed your life.
It changed my life.
Okay.
So you did your job.
There we go.
Okay. And you have read the book at this point.
Yes,
today.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. You trust me on that?
Yes, I do. Okay. I do. Because I was hounding you.
Yes, you were.
About reading it. So I know you followed through on that. So anyways, so the reason why I'm going to stop there about, okay, I had this feeling of feeling ordinary and, you know, but I wanted to be extraordinary. And I was thinking, man, I can't get this morning consistency thing down, and I can't get the, you know, so I started reading the book and I read the book and I came back to you. But there was really three things that I want to discuss today.
Okay.
That really were the three game changers.
Okay. So tell me about that. What are those three game changers? And what I would love to hear, though, is on top of what those game changers are, whatever they are, I want to know how people like me, who have struggled with consistency in the past, can apply it to my life. And you know, life is busy now. Mm-hmm. Okay? Going back to
it's
work.
It's going to be a while before you get to the consistency piece.
Right.
Yeah, that's going to, you got to ride the wave right now. Just put the consistency over to this corner right now, but then, you know, once you're through this period, when you can see again, you'll be able to get back on it.
Exactly.
But
how can people like me apply these game changers? So that's also something I want to know. So take us in. Let's dive deep into that.
Okay, great. And these three are called the three small adjustments that will increase your quality of life.
Okay.
So number one, I had to take control.
Take control.
So when I say take control, one of the things that we do, let's say if it's eating healthy or exercising regularly or whatever it is, we think about, the first thing we think about is our past failures with it.
Mm-hmm.
So we think this, in the back of our mind, we're thinking this is just a phase.
Mm.
Like, I'm not really going to be able to keep up with this.
Sure.
Because if I look at my pattern of behavior in my past, all I can see is failure.
Yeah, sure.
So if I compared the other years of me not being able to consistently get up on time, I would not think it was possible.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to listen to our truer self, I would call it, that is making it clear to you that you can.
Okay.
So there's a little voice. It's almost like, you know, those shows that had the devil on one side of your shoulder and the angel on the other.
Right.
Yeah, it's almost like that, where you got the devil telling you, come on.
Yeah.
you've never been able to do this before in your life. Like, just give it up. Come on. And then there's the angel on the other side saying, it's possible. Mm-hmm. Look at all these people who have done it. Sure. And they're talking about it. And they're talking about this dramatic life change. And there's nothing different. They put their pants on mm-hmm. one leg at a time. Just like you, they're a human being. Yeah. This is not a superhero, superhuman, or whatever. So you can do it.
Yeah.
And deep down in your heart, you know you can do it. Yeah. Deep down in my heart, I knew I'm extraordinary. Mm. I'm created for way more than this. I'm created to be a life changer, a game changer. I knew it.
Yeah.
Like, there was no doubt in my heart that that was not the case. So I, or that was the case, but so that was the thing I had to come to grips with at first. Okay. And as I read this book, The Miracle Morning, mm-hmm. there are all these affirmations in there mm-hmm. that Hal Elrod, the author, has you to kind of look at and remind yourself of to build up that belief in you.
So we're talking about taking control.
Right.
So you're saying that in order to take control, one of the steps was to dig deep down into your truer self mm-hmm. and realize that this change or whatever it is that you want to do is actually possible.
It's possible.
And that you can achieve it.
And you can achieve
it. Yeah. And then another part of taking control, you mentioned some affirmations. So tell me about how those work in taking control.
Yeah, so.
And even more specifically, what's an affirmation maybe that you used for waking up early that helped you?
Yeah. So I was going to share this later in our conversation, but affirmations really are just positive, really true statements that we say to ourselves to remind us, re-energize us of what's true.
Okay.
You know, I love the Bible and the scripture that says, you know, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure. Because we, you know, we tend to go to a thousand positive things could happen, but our mind tends to go to that one negative. Mm-hmm. And that is the thing that stays most forefront in our mind.
That's right. Absolutely.
So those affirmations are the things that come to interrupt whatever those negative thoughts are. Mm-hmm. And if you get into a habit, get into a practice of it and reminding yourself of that, it, like, for instance, if we're playing a game, I played sports my whole life, so I use a lot of sports mm-hmm. analogies, but if we're playing basketball and my team is only down by 5 points, but it's like 10 minutes left to go in the game. I know we can come back from 5 points in 10 minutes. I've seen it done thousands of times, you know, so that's something that, you know, I know for a fact that we can do that. Mm-hmm. If we're down 20 with 2 minutes left, I don't know that. And so here's the point that I'm making with that. When you're down 5 and you believe that you can come back, there's a way that you play because you believe it.
Right.
And your body automatically goes into action to do that thing
sure.
because you know it's possible. Mm-hmm. And even probable in some sense. But when you know or you feel like it's impossible, you slump your shoulders, mm-hmm. you get really sad in your mind, mm-hmm. and you don't play defense anymore. Like, you don't do the things that you need to do to come back.
Your body starts to react to the negative.
Right.
And also to the worst case scenarios.
Right.
You feel that you're going to lose, and you're going to walk around literally like the loser.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. So that's the thing. So you, the reason why these affirmations come into play, and I'll share with you my morning, you know, one of the first kind of ones that I started with. And the thing about that is, you know, it reminds you, it puts you in the game to know that I'm built for this. I can do this. And so just saying to yourself, like, I do deserve this life. Mm. This is something that I deserve. Like, this is something that my family deserves. I think this feeling may have been impressing upon my heart a little bit more because I did have a, you know, 1 year old and new marriage. And I'm just like, I'm looking at my family and I'm like, is this it?
They deserve better.
They deserve much better. Yeah. I deserve to take my wife on a yacht somewhere, to another country somewhere, to like, she deserves that. My son deserves that. Right. You know, he deserves to have options as far as schooling, as far as, you know, activities that he can get involved in. That's like, right. He should never have to be in a situation where now he has to decide what he's going to do based on how much money we have. Mm. Oh, you have to pay you have to play basketball because we can't afford for you to, you know, do something else that needs more equipment. You can't go to a computer engineering, you know, program for young people because, well, we can only afford basketball right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm just thinking of all of that stuff.
Right.
And I'm like, they deserve it. And you know they do. Like, in deep down in your heart, you know they do. And you know you do. Mm-hmm. That's who that's who we're talking to. You who are listening to this, like, you deserve that. So, and honestly, read that book, The Miracle Morning. Like, read that book. I'm not going to be able to do it justice sharing, you know. Mm. I'm not going to be able to do it justice. But I'm just letting you know that book is behind a lot of what you're hearing us talking
complete
about.
Complete game changer.
Right, yes, complete.
Complete game changer. If you're looking to jumpstart your life and make subtle changes that are going to help you to get there, read The Miracle Morning, please.
ASAP.
They have it on audiobook.
Yeah.
So if you're not a person who likes to sit down and read, you can listen to it in the car, on your way to work. It is fantastic. Highly recommended.
Yeah. Audiobook, Kindle, paperback.
And we're not getting paid to tell you this. So.
No. Although I probably should contact
that
Kyle
would be
and
cool.
Say, hey, man, I'm really going in on this book. You mind? No, but It's just a foundational book. If you don't read, put it this way, if you don't read any other book in 2019, this book needs to be on your list.
Yeah.
I had, a matter of fact, my cousin from North Carolina, Michael Rice, he actually did a post on Facebook recently about this book. And I did a post like several months back, and he literally did a post about this book and how it changed his life and different things he's doing now and establishing his company and what he's doing. And he credited me with the post.
Look at that.
About the book.
Awesome.
For why he read it.
Mm.
So
yep.
I'm like, wow.
Did you credit me on your post?
I credited you on the podcast. Is that,
okay.
Is that good?
You know
enough?
What? That's good. I'll take it.
Wow.
I'll take it.
And you know, that's how people are in life.
I had to ask.
They just gotta get the credit. Oh man. Not like she read the book at the time. You know, we're not gonna go back to that. But wow.
So
just trying to get the credit.
Robert, you said that there were
hold on,
three.
I don't know if I'll be able to finish this podcast with you just trying to I can't believe
you
that you tried
get
to get the credit for that.
I want my credit.
Okay, I'll finish the podcast. All right, come on.
You told us that there were three small adjustments that you can make to improve the quality of your life.
Mm-hmm.
First one was take control.
Yes.
What's the next small adjustment that our listeners can use to improve the quality of their lives?
Number two. You got to gas up. That's what I call it. You got to gas up.
Gas up.
gas up.
Like how you gas your car.
How you gas your car.
Okay.
Or how you refuel your body with food that you eat on a daily basis.
Very good.
Most of us eat multiple times a day. Sure. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm-hmm. Even if you only eat two meals, you don't just eat one time a week or one time a month. And what I realized, what really leveled me up in terms of my consistency was, it was like clockwork. I would turn on, and I never used to listen to any like motivational, inspirational anything. Mm. Like I would listen to sermons or different things like that, but never like those videos. And one of the things I realized is as I was getting that stuff into me early, it was ruling my morning.
It does something to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It made me feel like, yo.
Do you know what your day can be like if you wake up and you listen to a speech by Les Brown?
Well, yes.
For example.
You got to be hungry.
You are going to be super energized.
Les Brown.
And you got to be hungry.
I'm telling you, I'm the one. That's the Les Brown, I'm the one.
Oh, the best.
Has to be the one. Mm. The one. Video that I go back to more consistently than anyone
likewise.
I'm like, whenever
he could have done that one speech
and been done
being a speaker. That's how great it was.
Oh man,
guys, listen to that speech.
I'm the
Les
one
Brown,
yes.
I'm the one.
We'll put it in the show notes. Yes. I'm the one. Yes, that phenomenal.
But started getting those things
into
your
my
spirit,
system.
Into your system.
Yeah.
Gassing up.
Yes.
Tell us what that did for you.
Oh, it re-energized me every morning. Because guess what? You need to be re-energized every single day.
Sure.
And every single night.
Mm-hmm.
So the night part is something we skip
the
process.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. If I want to wake up right now, I did this 100-day challenge for myself to wake up at 3:45 a.m. every day and to go to sleep by 9:45 p.m. So I can get 6 hours. I function great off of 6 hours. And so just a little nugget from the book, Hal talks about how you have to find what's the right amount of sleep for you.
Yes.
You know, there's all different types of studies about 8 hours, 7 hours, you know, different. Mm-hmm. But really, you know, based on your age, your physiology,
and
specific components to you, there's a different amount of sleep you may need.
Sure.
And so plenty successful people don't get 8 hours of sleep. Some successful people actually think it's a joke for people that actually need 8 hours. If you need 8 hours, get 8 hours.
Right.
I'm not telling you to switch it up if you function best on 8 hours, but I'm just saying that you have to find the rhythm that works for you. But anyways, I said that, and so one of the things that will crush me and block my momentum in an instant from waking up at that 3:45 hour is not preparing the night before.
Mm.
And if I don't put the right stuff in my system the night before, I'm not going to wake up at that time.
So that is so important. And I'm so happy you said that, Robert, because I think for a while that I may even forgotten about the nighttime, right?
Yeah.
Now, currently life is a little bit different. I'm a new mom and, you know, I've been out of work for about 12 weeks, right? So things are just a little bit different. But when I get back to work, which is going to be next week, next week already.
I want to start recording the podcast today because I probably wouldn't be able to.
That's right.
Wow. I couldn't get in. Okay.
So when I'm ready to get back to my normal routine, I don't think I even thought to myself how important the nighttime routine is going to be and how important recharging in the evening is going to be for my day, for the next day. for me to be able to get up and do it all again.
Yeah.
So what kinds of things would you suggest?
Yeah, so we were talking about the affirmation before.
Okay.
So you're going to have a bedtime affirmation as well. Hal talks about this in the book as well.
Okay.
But a bedtime affirmation to remind yourself and reset yourself for, oh, okay, this is why I'm waking up at that time, because my wife deserves to travel to another country. My, you know, son deserves to have the type of education he needs and be involved in the type of activities that best suit his strengths and be given, you know, it reminds you of that.
Okay.
Like why you're after this extraordinary, because it's easy to forget, especially since going back to that statistic, most of us, 70%, are at places of work that we are not very happy with. And so, you know, and it doesn't even have to be that this place is a terrible place to work. It's just not suitable to your natural strengths or really your calling in life. You know, maybe you are using your strengths, but you're like, man, there's so much more of me that I could bring to this world that I'm not able to, you know, through this. And so going back to the bedtime affirmation, that will help to lock your mind back in to, okay, I need to make going to bed at 9:45, in my case, a priority.
Great. That's awesome. And you know what? A lot of people don't have the ability to be consistent at doing that, which is why I'm so happy that you talked about consistency in the beginning, right? What's something else that you do to recharge at the end of the night? So in the morning, you talked about listening to something motivational, right? A good speech from Les Brown will get you going. Affirmations in the evening. What's something else that you do in the evening to kind of reset, get you recharged so that you can be great the next day?
This is like ever changing.
Okay.
So it's multiple things that I either do or have done, and just rotating things in and out, because we talked about food earlier.
Yeah.
And if I just have chicken and salad every time that I eat, I am not, that's going to turn me off from eating healthy or sticking with. So this is not a, all right, you found your routine, like stick with this for all time's sake.
Right.
Because at some point you're going to have to figure out, okay, what do I need in this season of my life? Right. So a couple of things. So the bedtime affirmations, I think that is phenomenal. Listening to, I know this sounds crazy, but listening to something motivational, inspirational as you take your, you know, take a shower or something at night, that's great because it's like you're giving your mind a bath.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
You're cleansing. You like that? The way that you like, put that.
You know what I mean?
That's beautiful. That was beautiful. Say that again.
You got to give your mind a bath.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I mean? We think about washing our bodies, but a lot of dirty things attaches itself to our minds, whether we're watching the news, whether we had a terrible day at work, people kept calling us, the kids not acting right, spouse, you know, you're feeling like, oh my goodness, how many times do we have to talk about this? Or whatever, you feel like a failure. Right. You feel like I didn't show up my best self today. I feel terrible. But listening, getting that bam, getting that I'm the one in your system, you feel like, oh, okay, let's go.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, you know, so that's a big component. It's just as great, just as important as that is in the morning is it is as important in the evening, if not more, because your evening actually sets up your morning. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I've been doing this challenge for about a week now, and the third or fourth day of the challenge, I just woke up at like 3:43. Mm-hmm. Just woke up.
Yeah.
Like my eyes popped open.
Wow.
Why? Because I went to bed before or at 9:45. I had gotten to this rhythm of waking, you know, having that 6-hour slot. Mm-hmm. So my body, it doesn't take your body a long time to realize, oh, this is the schedule we're on now. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, and so boom.
Yeah.
The morning was easy because I felt rested. I felt like this is the time I'm supposed to be waking up. Mm-hmm. I felt excited. And so anyways, that's another thing you can do. That writing out your goals or tasks for the next day.
My favorite.
Yeah. So once somebody told me this one time, like you, I might mess up this quote, but I believe it's like, go to bed with a plan so you can wake up with purpose.
Mm.
You know, if you go to bed with a plan, you'll wake up with purpose.
I like that.
And so if you don't plan your night, you're not going to, you're going to be like figuring out in the morning, okay, what am I supposed to be doing today?
Mm-hmm.
And you know how long that takes to figure out?
Man.
You may think that, oh, writing my tasks or my goals down for 10 minutes, taking 5 to 10 minutes to do that. Oh my goodness, that's such a long time. I just want to watch Netflix and chill,
right.
You know? But in the morning, you're going to take a whole lot more time figuring out, and then it's going to rack your brain because you're like, oh, am I forgetting something? And then the day is already starting, so you're already being asked for something. Mm-hmm. So now all the stuff that you know you're supposed to do is like escaping you. And now, I love this, like you actually are living your life being a slave to others, people's agenda.
Sure, that's right.
When you don't have your own agenda, mm-hmm. you become a slave to others'
that's
agenda.
Right. Absolutely.
That's tweetable right
there.
Yeah,
that's good. You said, I like that.
No, but you get into that mode and then, you know, those are three things. There's other things that I could say. But
I love this point here about writing it down.
Writing it down.
I mean, write it down.
Yeah, that is the probably, out of all the productivity principles that I've learned,
mm-hmm.
that is probably the most important. Mm-hmm. And there's an author, David Allen. He wrote this book, Getting Things Done. And he is like the leading productivity guru in the world. And he, you know, as a productivity coach, he's someone that I have to really, you know, but his, that's his main thing. Yeah. Really get out of your head. Like, if you can get what you need to do out of your head,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to remember. That's it's the reason why we make lists when we go to the supermarket.
That's right.
I know I'm going to forget something if I don't write a list down.
Right.
And therefore, I write a list so I don't forget something.
Right.
Most husbands probably will still forget something. I'm being honest. I'm putting it on wax.
It sounds very accurate.
Oh, it's accurate. Yes. I have. But you know what it is? You guys never stop adding to the list. That's the problem. Like, I'll have a list, and then my wife will text me like, oh, just these three more things. And let's say if I'm in there and I forget to add those three more things to the list, I'll come home. She'd be like, did you get? And I'm like, no, I got the list. Oh, I forgot you texted me that separately.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So anyways.
You know what? I'm guilty of that. But anyhow.
Yeah.
So writing things down.
Writing things
super
down.
Super important.
Yeah,
and you know what? I remember there was a time where you and I started to write down our top 10 goals.
Oh, yeah.
And we would write it down every day. This is a little secret, guys. Listen up. little secret that we learned from Brian Tracy.
Yeah. So
he has this phenomenal way of getting things done and achieving your goals. And one of the things that he mentions is to write them down, but to write down your top 10 goals mm-hmm. and to do it every day.
Yeah.
You know what people do? They write down their goals once and they leave it in a notebook, shove it under the bed, and they never look at it again.
Yeah.
They write it on January 1st and then October hits and you completely forget about what those goals were. But writing them down every day makes it almost something that you must take action on, because I have to write it down. Eventually, I want to say that I've achieved this goal.
Right.
I want to stop writing it as a goal that I need to complete. Right? And so I love that point. I think it's so important. And I think it's so easy for people to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And really, your goals are like a garden. Mm-hmm. You need to continuously dress your garden and keep your garden. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to water your garden one time a year say, I watered it. Mm-hmm. Like,
it should grow.
Right. Because you might, you know, for those great gardeners out there, I'm not one myself, but, you know, for those great gardeners out there, you might see adjustments that you need to make. Like, okay, maybe I need to put the water over here, or this area right here needs a little bit more work than I realized before, you know. So it's a moving thing. You know, it's still your garden that's still in one place. However, it just takes, you know, work that you remind yourself of every day.
That's right.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie. I went from like 10, doing 10 of those to three, my top three, just because 10 after a while seemed like so daunting of a list to write every day. And like I said before, variety. Right.
Sure.
So there may be a time when I might go back to the 10, or I might see something that's, you know, that may be a good reason for me to do that. But I just felt like I know I can do these three every single day and not even like clockwork, not even think about it.
Right.
So, yeah, but that activity is incredible. But writing things down, my most productive times in my life, I remember when I was killing at a particular job. I just remember it was because I was literally writing everything down. Yeah. And that's so not me.
Yeah.
So I want to make that clear. Like, I'm the guy that shows up.
Right.
I'm the guy without, and you know, we've done presentations together and things. I'm off script.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not the guy that's on the paper.
Right.
But I just realized, like, I'm way more powerful, way more productive when I can do that, when I can make that list.
Yeah.
So that would be, you know, just what I would say about the gas up piece.
What's the third piece? So, so far, our small adjustments that we can use to improve the quality of life. Number one.
Take control.
Number two.
Gas up.
All right. What's number three?
Number three is mechanics. Yeah. I know that sounds mechanics. That doesn't, the other two sound really inspirational and really exciting, but now you're talking about mechanics. Well, that sounds really boring. Well, here's the thing, guys. If you turn the...
You said it, not me.
I mean, it sounded boring to me. I actually was trying to figure out another way to say mechanics.
Uh-huh.
But I'm like, there's got to be a better way to say this. But then it was just like, no, the best way to say it is mechanics.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. Don't turn the podcast off at this point. What I'm about to say is probably the most important aspect of this whole entire, you know, three small adjustments.
Ooh, let me listen and take notes.
Yes, this is it. So this is actually, out of everything I read about in the Miracle Morning, this thing changed my life more than anything I read in the book.
What's that?
Wait for it.
All right.
No. So, it's not just about this particular mechanic, but it's about mechanics in all the areas of our life that we seek to improve. But I'm just going to put this in the, waking up on time mechanic,
okay,
which that start. I mean, for if you're trying to get out of park, if you're listening to this trying to get out of park, this is what starts it off.
Okay.
And some of this you may have heard. Hal said to take your alarm and put it across the room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember that.
So for me, what I did, I actually took my phone, which I use for my alarm, and I put it in my bathroom, which was right next to my bedroom.
Okay.
So I literally had to walk all the way into the bathroom in order to, you know, if I'm going to hit snooze, right, I gotta get up.
Go all the way into the bathroom
right. to hit snooze. So, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You're reading those nighttime affirmations about where you want to put your family and your children, and you got all this inspiration. You got Les Brown, I'm the One in You. You right. got all of that. And you're going to hit snooze? Mm.
Not after getting up and walking all the way to the bathroom.
Not after getting up and walking all the way to the bathroom.
Uh-uh.
But I'm not going to lie to you. I did hit snooze and go back to bed a couple times. But this is what I'm saying about
okay.
that. What I'm saying is this was a game changer because yes. it helped me to develop consistency, right?
Sure.
So I went because here's the other thing that you do. You cut the lights on. So immediately, you go into the bathroom, close the door, especially if you're sleeping in the room with your spouse and your
yeah.
bathroom is right next right. to your room. I don't want you to have those problems.
Right.
right. So you're going to walk into the bathroom, close the door first.
Yeah.
Turn on those lights. Turn off your alarm. Then he said, okay, wash your face and everything, you know, brush your teeth, get that fresh. It's hard to go back to bed after you brush your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? After you feel woke.
Yeah.
You know, you wash your face, you're all alive.
You're starting the process.
You're starting the process.
Yeah.
And then drink a glass of water.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that's I just put a bottle mm-hmm. in the bathroom next to my alarm. This is so dope. Mm-hmm. All right. Put the bottle of water next to my alarm in the bathroom,
yeah.
drink the water, and now what's happening this whole time is I'm progressively waking up.
That's right.
You don't wake up in one moment.
Sure.
There's several things that you do to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
So now when I turn the lights on, my pupils are doing something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drinking water. It's Sean Stevenson, who the Model Health Show, incredible show about your health and wellness. He talks about how you take your inner bath. You take a bath, and we talked about a bath to your mind and your spirit. But this is the inner bath. We wash our bodies on the outside, but the inner bath is drinking, you know, some room temperature water.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he said room temperature is because it's just like washing the dishes. You're not going to wash your dishes with cold water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one would do that. But so
hopefully not.
I don't think that. Hopefully not. I don't know. Some
know.
People might. You never know.
On a hot summer day, I might wash the dishes in cold water. I'm just saying.
Okay, that's probably not where I'm gonna get my coolness from. The dishwashing part. I might try the AC, some ice cream.
Oh my gosh.
Some other stuff. I might. You know, get some cold water and
you
might drink it.
You gotta do what you gotta do sometimes.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Okay. But I almost knocked over my water talking about this. But anyways, so drink that and literally go to bed with your whatever you're exercising in.
Yeah, your workout clothes,
like,
right?
Go to bed already
yeah,
with that.
That's right.
And then you know, Sean Stevenson said, though, don't sleep with your socks on. I don't know.
Okay.
It's like a circulation thing. You sleep better without your, and this is a very smart guy. He goes
socks.
Into detail about it.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, most people,
I'd recommend
a lot of people
don't
can.
Do it.
Don't do it. But I'm just saying that's probably that and your sneakers are probably the only thing,
sure.
you know, if you're going to throw a hoodie on or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying the core of what you're going to wear in the morning.
That's right.
It should be on you. So now when you're already ready.
So now you've put your alarm across the room. You're slowly waking up. You washed your face, brushed your teeth, feeling fresh. Got some water in your system. Already got your workout clothes on. You're ready to jump into the day.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And you give yourself less things to do.
Yeah.
So now you don't have to dread waking up in the morning, you're groggy, you can hardly get your workout clothes on. So now, not only are you able to wake up, but you have more motivation to go work out. I'm already dressed.
Give yourself, I just thought about this Super Mario Brothers. Like, give yourself levels 1, 2, and 3. Like, lower the bar. Like, give yourself these small wins that you can get, like,
yeah.
just without even thinking about it.
Sure.
To the point where you're like, I'm fully dressed mm-hmm. and sitting here ready to walk out. Like, I'm not going back to sleep
right
now.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Yep. If you get to that point, mm-hmm. now here's the thing. Naps are beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
You can come back after working out, getting ready, and most of the time, if you're, you know, getting up extra early, you don't have to be to work yet, or, you know, you might still have a little bit of a time that you can, you know, if you need to take a little nap. I did this when I was making this adjustment because that was an early time. I started with 4 o'clock. My goal was 5:30, but I told you, like, it was something in me that just said, you know, go for it.
Yeah.
So I did 4 o'clock, and... You know, if that doesn't work for you, maybe you need to do, you did it more incrementally.
I did.
Yeah. Talk about that. How did you?
Well, I think I had a goal of waking up at least 6.
Okay.
Right? Because I was a 7:30, 8-ish mm-hmm. kind of person. And so.
Last minute.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But enough time for me to look good, right?
Hold on. You know what's crazy? I never set my alarm for that time.
Okay.
But I always ended up getting up around that time.
Okay.
Because I hit the snooze so much,
gotcha.
Drove my wife crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So I was still in your boat, even though I didn't plan to be in that boat.
Was the person sense. Who had 6-7 alarms.
Okay.
You know.
You planned to.
Okay. 6:50.
I just hit the snooze.
No. I had a 6:50, a 7, a 7:05. 7:15. I had all of those alarms
okay.
because I knew that I would keep hitting snooze. That's who I was.
Wow.
Crazy. Anyway, 6 o'clock for me was huge. Like, okay. that was like waking up crack of dawn for me mm-hmm. because I was a 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock person.
Okay.
And so 6 o'clock, it took a while for me to get there, gonna be honest. But small wins. Right? And so each time, maybe 15 minutes earlier here, 15 minutes earlier there. So instead of waking up at 6:50 on Monday, maybe I'd wake up at 6:45. And then on Tuesday, I'd wake up at 6:30. Right?
Okay.
And so I continued to do that until it felt normal and until it felt good. But small wins, I think, were so important with that because just going throughout the day and saying, oh my gosh, I got up at 6 o'clock today, that felt great.
You already won.
That's right.
Your
and
day,
it made
yeah.
me feel like because I did that, I can accomplish other things.
Yeah.
And that is the kicker for me. One small win led to other big wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love what you just said there. And I wouldn't take anything from it.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to add to it, though.
Okay.
You said you wake up. What did you say when you said you wake up at 6 and
yeah.
you feel like you could accomplish? There's other things that you could accomplish.
Yeah.
How did you say it? How exactly did you say it?
Something like that. But what I felt inside was that if I could do this,
You could do other things.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
Sure.
Here's the what's behind that. If you could do this, not only could you do other things, you could do anything.
Yeah.
You're totally unstoppable, especially if you look at yourself mm-hmm. in your past and you say, I could never wake up
That's
on time.
Right. Yeah.
I could never wake up at this time. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden you can, mm-hmm. you know, you can do anything. That's now right. you're like, oh, I'm not limited.
That's
I'm
right.
limitless. Like, I can change.
That's right.
You know, and it's just, it's an incredible thing.
And guys, I want you to know, I know we've been talking a lot recently about waking up, right? A lot of this has been about the Miracle Morning book and how it taught us to be able to wake up consistently. But the thing about this is it becomes super powerful when you think about changing your routine, waking up at a certain time that allows you to get started in the morning and refuel and energize in a way that lets you to be productive throughout the day. So for example, if I have to be to work at 8:30 and I'm waking up at 7:30, giving myself an hour to get dressed and do everything I need to do, get on the road, go to work, I'm rushing. But if I'm able to get up at my optimum time, maybe 5:30 or 6 o'clock, in the morning I can plan for my day. I can write out my goals. I can plan a breakfast. I can have time to myself. I've got time to pray, pick out my clothes, mm-hmm. make a phone call,
yep.
right? I can do all of those things for me.
Yep.
And I know that when I get to work, I'm going to be giving myself mm-hmm. to other people.
Yeah.
I'm going to have demands on me,
yeah.
right? But if I can give myself that time in the morning, it makes me feel like, well, I'm pretty successful. I've mm-hmm. accomplished lots of things that I need to do mm-hmm. for me alone. Therefore, I can tackle this day. And so that's why, guys, we've been talking so much about waking up in the morning and mm-hmm. how much this book, The Miracle Morning, has changed our lives. Because when you allow more time in the morning, it feels like you've added to your day. You've got to think about the time that you wasted when you're just sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that is incredible. That so incredible. Just that you put your own mask on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we hear about the plane and, you know, you got to put your own mask on before you can put anybody. And it's true.
Yep.
Like, if you're going to work and you just woke up just in time to go in, the first thing you're going to think about in your day is what email or what phone call your boss has or whatever your spouse has for you to do. Like, and you're literally running around like a chicken with your head cut off frantically, which is what I was doing
yeah.
every single day, which is why I felt, yo, this cannot be life.
That's right.
This cannot be it. But when I started putting my own mask on first, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, the air is different up here.
Right.
And it's instant.
That's right.
It's instant. As soon as you do it, it's instant. So this is not like if you do this for the next 365 to 700 days, mm-hmm. you'll start to feel this.
Right.
No, this is like tomorrow.
Yeah.
This is if you listen to this and you're like, okay, tonight. And that's what I actually recommend. Because when I was reading The Miracle Morning, I'm like, oh, okay, tonight mm-hmm. I'm going to start this. And this is how I suggest in the book, like, let's go right now. Because the longer you put off, if you say, oh, you know, the crazy thing, I started The Miracle Morning on Wednesday.
Yeah. People don't usually do that.
They don't usually do that.
They say, I'm going to wait till Monday.
This challenge that I just started for myself is something about Wednesday for me. I don't know. It's crazy. But you know what it is? It's like it's not supposed to happen.
That's right.
It's like in the middle.
And that's why you got to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this challenge that I just started for myself, I started on a Wednesday.
There you go.
And
that's called jump right in it.
It's called jump right in it.
Don't wait for the weekend to go by.
Right. So anybody else who wants to do something similar, you can know. Whenever you listen to this, you don't have to wait till, okay, mm-hmm. Monday, mm-hmm. I'm going to snow today.
That's right.
Tonight.
Guys, if you're looking for a sign that you yes. should get started yeah. on that thing, this is it.
Yeah.
This is your permission mm-hmm. to do it, to yeah. go for it. Whatever that thing is, that life change that you have been wanting to have, this is it.
This is it.
You got it.
Yeah.
We give you permission.
Let's get it. So that is, those are the three, you know, adjustments. Take control.
Take control.
Gas up.
Gas up.
mechanics. And so I'm always going to end with this podcast is called Productivity Boss Moves. Okay. So the biggest part to learning is taking action.
Sure.
You'll learn more about taking action than you will about reading.
That's right.
You know, so I'm always going to give you some sort of action to take at the end of every podcast so that every week you can get at least 1% better. That's my goal.
Let's hear it.
All right. So this is going to be the productivity boss move this week. You're going to write a 5-sentence personal affirmation that you say to yourself every morning.
Got it.
3 times. I'll recommend saying it at least 3 times to yourself.
Great.
And I'll give you an example. This is a personal affirmation that I say, a version of it. It's a little bit longer now since I've been doing it, and it's kind of, you know, in my system. But I'll say, this is the beginning portion. I'll say, wow, it's escaping me at this moment.
Come on.
You know what it is? What's crazy is when you're in a particular time zone and the atmosphere, it's easier to remember things in that moment. I don't usually say my affirmation
in
right
a garage.
Now, right in the evening. What time is it?
After
it's like
8:00.
8:00 at night. I'm like, I don't usually say this right now, so I don't know why I can't think of it. No, but here's what I say. I say, I am who God says I am. Mm. I can have what God says I can have. Mm-hmm. I can do what God says I can do. Mm. Today, I work diligently for and remain open to receive everything that God has for me.
Mm.
Because of God's influence in my life, I am present in every moment.
Oh my gosh.
And then at the end, I'll say, let's get it. But you know, I have added to that.
I love that. Can I borrow that?
Oh, take it. Take it.
I love it.
You can have it.
I felt that in my spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say it again for you. And you could slow it down, rewind it. Just write this down. I am who God says I am.
Mm.
I can have what God says I can have. I can do what God says I can do. Today, I work diligently for and remain open to receive everything that God has for me. Because of God's influence in my life, I am present in every moment.
Let's get it.
Let's get it. So that might have been a little bit more than 5 sentences, but I suggest making it at least 5 sentences so it's something that you have to read it initially. Like, make it something that you have to, you have to practice to get into your system. Because if it's something that's too shallow, if it doesn't go deep enough, it won't get to your heart. It won't get to your bones when you say it. But if you think about just, you know, different elements, it can sound similar. It can sound completely different. You could have all different types of words in yours, but just look deep into your heart and know, you know, I'm extraordinary. Like, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And it starts there, folks. Like, remind yourself of this. Look yourself in the mirror. Maybe every day this week, write this down. Say it to yourself. Maybe those other principles we talked about, you write them down and implement them, you know, periodically, or they'll come up again because teaching is the art of repetition. So it's not going to be this new groundbreaking stuff every week. It's going to be stuff that, you know, we're going to be going back over because, you know, it takes really learning things over and over again and hearing them over and over again and really get into our system. So I'll just say for this week, though, please, can you promise me? I'm gonna add another level to this, right? Can you promise me? I know I can't hear you. I know I'm not there with you, but you can hear you. I just ask if you can promise me that this week you're going to write your personal affirmation and say it to yourself every morning. And if you miss a morning, you're going to please promise me that you're going to get back on the horse the next day and not feel like, oh, I'm a failure, it's all over, I missed a day. No, just start back the next day. But man, this has been awesome time together.
Definitely.
I've had so much fun.
Robert, I always love connecting with you. I mean, you're fantastic. And honestly, you are my productivity guru. Just so that you know. You're my guy.
I am who God says I am.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I just thank you guys for listening. And I thank you so much for providing the level of energy and life that you do to everything that you're a part of.
Always a good time.
And the wonderful mom you are to the new guy.
Yay!
Gabriel.
That's my favorite job.
Yes. And your wonderful wife you are to your husband, Rich.
That's right.
I see you guys as a, you know, inspiration, the way you look at each other and... I'm like,
thank you.
Y'all late. No, so, but no, that's awesome. I love it. No, yeah, keep going.
We'll do.
But you guys have a great week. And I'm sorry. This is how I'm going to end every podcast.
Okay.
You guys ready?
There we go.
I'm Robert Price, your productivity coach, helping you focus on what matters most. Have a productive week.
Woo!
See you next week.